Hello, America, and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to a slightly frazzled edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me as always is Patrick Mifflin, Chris Elogi, and Teresa Salmon. Say hi, everybody.
Hey. Slightly.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're all not necessarily loaded, but let's just say it's summer, it's hot, we've all been indoors this whole time, and we're starting to crack.
Yeah.
Like, seriously crack. So this episode is going to be for July 17th, 2020. This week, it's like the insanity just decided to ramp itself up just a little bit. We are more or less, like, hanging on the edge of ending up back in the hole we started out with, like, back in March, when COVID first made its way to our shores, because a bunch of people are stupid, and a bunch of people in high office are equally as stupid and want to appeal to those stupid people.
We are at the mercy of imbeciles.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Which means that basically, the private sector has had to come in and try and sort of take their place. So a lot of private businesses, in particular, because I don't want to hinge on this too long because we're already starting this kind of late when we're recording this. But here in Georgia, where I live, we are currently in the red zone as far as COVID-19 infections are concerned. Our governor is a complete idiot. Or at least he's pretending to be an idiot when in reality he's just a corrupt prick who doesn't really care about other people. He's just a complete sociopath and he just wants to be in power.
Yep.
Because he has not only refused to begin a mask mandate for the state, he has actually made it so that local governments cannot pass mask mandates themselves, which is, there is like doubling down on your bullshit, and then there is just full on deep throating it.
Yeah, that's just deadly.
Yeah.
No.
Now, fortunately, some local governments are not listening to him and are in fact installing their own mask mandates, including the mayor of Atlanta, who told Brian Kemp to go fuck himself. So,
yeah.
Hopefully he takes it to heart.
He won't.
With a tree branch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He won't. But I don't know when he's actually up for re-election.
Not soon enough.
Unfortunately, no. But we got our usual assholes of the week. We also got some heroes of the week. We had another celebrity death we had to talk about. We also have some election results, some of them good, some of them are not necessarily as good as you would think they are, but because of who lost, it's schadenfreude.
Still satisfying.
Yeah. And we got a bunch of other bullshit, too, including Trump is shaking up his campaign 100 days from the election by more or less demoting his campaign manager.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But we'll be getting to all that and more on this edition of Let's Weekend. So, start off as we always do. Pat, what have you been up to this week?
Well, in addition to the usual PSO2, which will be a staple for the foreseeable future, I've also been doing a lot of retro gaming with my Genesis Mini, with my Turbo Duo Mini, Neo Geo. I've just been going all in on those, and it's been a lot of fun. So, I almost bricked my Genesis Mini. The bad news is I lost pretty much the entire front end, that nice M2 front end and emulator, and have more or less relegated this machine to that of a RetroArch box. But at least it still runs, and it serves its overall purpose. And so I'm going to put that maybe not in the win column, but at least a solid draw. I broke even. And I'm just counting it as a lesson learned when it comes time to mod the Turbo Duo, which I really look forward to because there are a lot of games I want to put on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, I'm just getting back into streaming and waiting for playoff hockey to start here in the next couple weeks. So,
all right.
Pretty standard week for me, I figure.
Yeah. All right. Teresa, what about you?
Again, pretty much the usual gaming staples. Animal Crossing, New Horizons, Pogo, which I never really mentioned, but I am always playing. Like, to the point of when I get bored, I get my car out of the garage and I just fucking go play. Because there's nothing else to do, you know, outside, except gotcha. Play Pokemon Go in a car away from everybody else. But Phantasy Star Online 2, I've been playing a little bit of that. Been really enjoying it, too. I still haven't gotten my test results back from where I went and got my COVID-19 test. And I'm fairly certain that my cough is just asthmatic bronchitis, which I'm prone to getting almost every fucking summer. But I didn't want to go to the doctor. I thought that going and getting a fucking COVID test would be safer than going to the doctor. And when it comes back negative, then I'll probably try like a video conference appointment and get my usual steroid inhalation type thing. It's you have to crush a pill and then inhale it into your lungs, which really sucks.
Oh,
I know. I don't like that inhaler at all, but I'm pretty sure I need it. It's not as bad as it has been in previous summers, but it's annoying. But other than that, I've been doing a lot of doom scrolling and wondering about school.
Yeah, yeah, because what is it, next week or week after that?
Yeah. Yeah. Like around August 3rd and everything, they're supposed to announce the plans for a lot of places. Now, some of them are already announcing earlier. We're not going back until like the 26th of August this year. Mm-hmm. And normally they're back in like by the 12th or something.
Yeah.
But I pretty much know what we're going to do. He's not fucking going in there. He's not going into that school. There's no fucking way. I mean, but I've been talking to his band teacher and, you know, she's shared some concerns. Her husband is abso-fucking-lutely adamant that she's not going back to work in person. Mm-hmm. And she's conflicted, you know? It's hard. None of this is easy. This is all stupid. But whenever I get too tired, of doom scrolling and thinking about it and talking about it and finding out what other school districts have already said, I've been watching that Sling TV a little bit more. So I've been watching a lot of, stuff on Cartoon Network. So enjoying some Adult Swim. And that's nice. The commercials kill me on other stuff, but the Adult Swim ones, I can kind of deal with those. But like, we tried watching, well, we actually did watch Star Trek Next Generation today during, our lunch break, or his lunch break. It's when we all eat. But yeah, the commercials are just fucking awful. Just awful. But I'm gonna keep watching it, because, you know, it's already paid for.
Alright.
That's about it.
Alright. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, besides fucking around with Skype here, decided yeah. to, like, yeah, reboot. Like, when I first started, it's like, oh, hey, welcome to Skype. I was like, what? And it's like, oh, the weird way that I ended up getting it to work is logging on the web version of Skype, and then it snapped the app into working, and had to switch over, which is good, so the audio should sound a lot better than if I recorded it from the web app. That would sound a little more echoey. But yeah, outside of that, it's been just fucking hot as hell all week. The other day, we got rain for about 30 minutes, which made it worse, because now it's humid as fuck for a whole...
Now it's not only hot, it's also muggy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Keep in mind, though, that's just like how it usually is here in Georgia for summer. Yeah. It's always humid, it's always hot and muggy. It's miserable.
Yeah, and we have not been getting much rain of late, so like a lot of the grass around where I work is turning brown.
Yeah.
Which is all nice, because I don't really care about it, whatever. It's fucking grass. I'm not the one. Yeah.
We've actually started getting some brown patches in the grass in our front lawn, too. So,
yeah. It's a whole thing. And then tomorrow it's going to be 94, I think, is our high.
Yeah.
A good few degrees more than it was today. I think it was 88, something like that. But, yeah, it's...
Ain't that grand.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough, rough day tomorrow, but whatever. I watched Supermarket Sweep, but I finished that. The whole collection, they call it, on Netflix. And still a lot of fun. Still a good amount of brands. I'm like, I have no idea if this is still around anymore. especially fun when people go for the $5,000 sweep and you get 60 seconds. And they take like 40 seconds to get the first one because they can't figure out where the fuck it is. End up not getting it, which is pretty fun because I think most of them end up getting it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's I think most of the ones that they have there end up getting it. So that's pretty fun. But yeah, it's a good time. Also, watch Unsolved Mysteries, which is on Netflix now. They got a new thing. No host. It's just here's 50 minutes about this weird. Murder case or suicide case or whatever that is unsolved and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first one. But yeah, it's a weird series. But yeah, it's Unsolved Mysteries. It's weird.
Oh, is it old or new?
It's a new show.
Oh, new it's Unsolved not the original. Mysteries.
Yeah. Netflix has a new thing. I think it's 6 episodes. Yeah, no host, none of that classic host who I think is dead.
No, Robert Stack.
Yeah.
Well, he's dead.
So there's no vibe like that to it. That got parodied a lot. But yeah, it's okay. First one is about a dude who got like a weird call, left the house in a rush, ends up disappearing. They eventually find him. Where it looks like he jumped off of a hotel to his death and suicide, but a lot of elements of it that don't quite make sense as a suicide, besides the fact that his family and his new wife were... No, he wasn't necessarily suicidal in any way. So it's like a lot of details, like, yeah, sure, okay. No, like, even plea for, like, help or anything at the end, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
On the case, so yeah, it's like one of those weird things. It adds to like the, I guess all the, like the real crime podcasts and such, that kind of thing they're going for, I guess. So it's kind of weird. But yeah, for games, I played a super hot Mind Control Delete, which is the new super hot game that just came out the other day. I streamed it for about an hour. It went pretty well. Why does it say I got two chats? Okay, never mind. But yeah, it's the thing they kind of do here is they kind of add like a roguelite framework around it. So they have like a bunch of different stages and they kind of throw them in different orders for like a little mini campaign kind of thing, which is kind of neat way to do it. But yeah, it works out pretty well for what it is. Probably talk more about it on Sunday, but yeah, I did a little stream for about an hour, and that was kind of nice. Especially because that's like it's a style of game that nobody else is doing. But the one new thing they've done is they've essentially created like a unified launcher between all three games on PC. So when you launch it, it's like, oh, you got this and this and this installed. Which one do you want to play? I was like, oh, okay. That's a little weird. Most Steam games don't do that. Yeah, this is really unprofessional podcast, but whatever. Already played some more Rocket League, finished up the event that, ended the, earlier this week. Now I don't really have much to do, because I finished up all the Rocket Pass challenges. I guess I keep playing for tiers and all that. But yeah, it's, I get a little break here, so that's kind of nice. So I can play some other things that are not Rocket League. Which includes getting Ghost of Tsushima that came out earlier today. Played about an hour of it, just enough to get to the point where you're out of the prologue.
Yeah.
Where it starts telling you, like, oh, hey, here's the map. You can set waypoints for these missions, kind of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, the opening stuff is pretty well done. Especially trying to get used to the combat. It's a little bit, has a little bit of a weird stuff to it, but, so far it's been working pretty well. So like one of the cool things they have is like a, parry system and all that. So you're kind of, encouraged to, kind of let enemies try and attack you and just, dodge out of the way or parry them and open them up for attacks. But yeah, when you get to fighting, like, the guy that's, I assume is gonna be the final boss, who's leading the Mongol army, you get, like, an early fight against him, and you're like, Jesus Christ, this guy's fucking tough. He gets one hit on you, it takes, like, 80% of your health. It's like, oh, this is gonna be when I'm gonna die here pretty soon. But yeah, so far that's been pretty fun, really nice style to it. I like when you get to, finish off a guy who, you know, get a nice slash on his throat and just blood spurting out. That kind of stuff. Or if you try to take out a guy, you basically, like, mortally wound him and you get a chance to, like, finish him off for mercy sake or something like that. There's a lot of neat touches to it. Gonna play some more of that and kind of get a feel for what the proper game is. Cause that, starting stuff is a lot more, linear. As it's just trying to guide you through the mechanics and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's been, largely it. How about you, Brandon?
Alright, yeah. Well, much like Chris, I've, also been playing Ghost of Tsushima, and like him, I got just far enough to get out of the prologue. Yeah, that game, I mean, that people kind of told me that, who had played it, that it kind of starts off a bit of a slow burn because it's sort of taking its time to try and establish the story. And, of course, this is a historical event that this game is based around, specifically the Mongol invasion of Japan. So they kind of have to front load some stuff in first before they get to the story. But, yeah, overall, it looks great. It plays good so far. I guess I'll just have to see, like, you know, have some more time with it to really think about what I think of it. But on top of that, I also started playing the Borderlands The Handsome Jack Collection, which is Borderlands 2 and Borderlands the pre-sequel. Yeah. I've played Borderlands 2. I have not played the pre-sequel, so that's what I've been playing. And, you know, I like it. I mean, it's more Borderlands, and I mean, damn, if that formula doesn't work. But Chris, have you played the Handsome Jack Collection?
Yeah.
So you've played the pre-sequel?
Yeah, I played like 5-6 hours of it.
Yeah, that whole oxygen thing is annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, you get...
I've heard about that.
And in Borderlands fashion, you get upgrades to the point where it minimizes the need for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, for the first few hours, you're definitely like, all right, I'm going to go shoot some stuff. Oh, crap, I'm about to run out. Got to go find...
of oxygen and die, yeah.
You gotta go find a random, like, geyser of oxygen to go in. Stuff like that.
Yeah, which, fortunately, the navigation map, you know, clearly marks for you, so... But I will also say the game is also surprisingly difficult at first, too.
Yeah, a lot of those early enemies are a bit tougher to nail down.
And that first boss in particular is... Yeah. Extremely difficult. But I mean, once all that gets going and everything, it's like, oh yeah, it's another Borderlands game. It's fun. I get to be with these characters again. Funny. Other than that, I've been doing my usual reading. And because I've talked about how much I'm a Hazbin Hotel fan in the past, Vipsy Pop released a music video this week. I mean, not this week. She's literally today, this afternoon. For this song called Addict, which was originally composed by Silva Hound, and the vocals are by Chi-Chi, who's like one of the YouTube's like anime cover singers, and Michael Kovach, who is the voice of Angel Dust. And it is dark as fuck. Because it like brings to light a lot of subtext you don't really see in the pilot, because there's only so much they can show you in like a pilot with that much limited amount of time. But yeah. It's but yeah, if you're a fan, go watch it. It's amazing. The song is, you know, poppy, which is fine, but for this whole project it works. But anyway. And yeah, that's basically what I've been up to. So we got anything else we want to add before we move on?
No, I think I'm good.
All right. Well then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And so in the past I've talked about when the subject of soft drinks comes up that, you know, I am a born and bred Georgian, and because of that I am genetically obligated to recommend the cool, refreshing taste of Coca-Cola. But that joke always kind of undersells it, because Coca-Cola is a really big deal here in Georgia. Like, a really big deal. Albert Pemberton, the guy who invented it, is from Atlanta. You know, the Coca-Cola company itself is headquartered in Atlanta.
Yeah.
A lot of the sporting places and sport teams have Coke sponsorship. It's a big freaking deal. But there was a time when Coke was such a big deal here in Georgia that they actually got in on schools.
Oh yeah, that happened in Kentucky too.
Let me explain. For a long time, Coca-Cola used to have this thing called Coke in Education Day. Basically, what would happen is that for one day in schools all across the country, but in particular in Georgia, the schools would for one day basically switch the entire curriculum to be surrounded around Coca-Cola, how it's made, its history, you know, how the business of it. They would even have like T-shirts and stuff to give out. You'd have to go out on the field and spell out Coke while wearing those shirts, and they'd have like a plane fly over and take a picture. Yeah, this is that. I am not making any of this up. This is stuff that actually happened. I know, because I was in school when this shit was still happening.
Yep.
And part of the reason so many fucking schools were willing to basically just shamelessly kowtow to the Coca-Cola Corporation like this was because of cash.
Of course.
Coca-Cola would offer a $500 prize to basically this best school in each county that they liked. And then to the one school that was the best in the nation, they would give $10,000 to.
Ooh.
Now, everybody knows how terribly funded public schools are in the United States.
Yes.
Oh, God.
You could probably guess why so many schools were willing to basically go all in on shit like this.
Yeah, absolutely.
But here's the thing. Coca-Cola hasn't done this since the turn of the millennium. And there is a reason why. It's a great reason. It's an amazing reason. It's a hilarious reason. And it's basically the type of shit they could make an MTV original movie out of.
Okay.
So get this. Back in 1998, Education and Coke Day came around to Evans, Georgia, specifically Greenbrier High School. I actually know some people who went to Greenbrier back around 2004. And so everybody was going in and, you know, everybody's like, yay, Coca-Cola, get prepared for Coke Day, get your Coke t-shirts, get your vouchers, get your shit ready, because we are desperate for the fucking funds. And there was this one kid, a senior, might I add, who was looking around at all this is like, this is so fucking stupid. His name was Mike Cameron. And he basically rebelled in the most perfect way possible.
Okay.
He went into school on Koken Education Day, wearing a t-shirt, which featured the Pepsi logo.
Nice.
And see, here's the thing. He just happened to have a Pepsi shirt in his closet for no reason. He didn't even remember where he got it from. He just knew that it had been lounging around in his closet, and he finally had a reason to wear it. So he went to school on that day, and the moment homeroom was over and he was walking out to go to his first class, he got stopped by a hall monitor, who then took him to the principal's office, and then they suspended him for the day.
Uh-huh. Because that's what they do. They can't police masks, but they can police what shirt some kid is wearing.
Mm-hmm. It made national news. I know it made national news, because here's a link to it, right here, from the same year, 1998, and it tells his whole story.
Wow.
You see, there were also Coca-Cola executives that were also going to be visiting that day, and they were going to basically line up a bunch of the senior students and have them line up in the football field. And again, like I said, they have the plane fly by and snap the picture.
Mm-hmm.
The principal, her name was Gloria Hamilton. And like it says here, quote in the story, says, "I know it sounds bad. Child suspended for wearing Pepsi shirt on Coke Day." And it's, and she goes, like she says, "It really would have been acceptable if it had just been in-house, but we had the regional president here, and people flew in from Atlanta to do us the honor of being resource speakers. These students knew we had guests."
Uh-huh.
She went further, saying, "It's not a Coke-Pepsi war issue. It has nothing to do with that. It was a student deliberately being disruptive and rude." For the record, they actually talked to a company spokesperson with Coca-Cola, and they were like, "We don't care. Kid does what a kid does."
Yep.
He's like, "We have people coming into the world of Coca-Cola here in Atlanta wearing Pepsi shirts all the time."
It's like, we're making billions of dollars. We don't care what a t-shirt says on it.
Yeah. So he got suspended for the day. There was no other incident after that. He, graduated, went off to do whatever, and Koken Education Day officially stopped existing. And that should show you just the incredible amount of pull that certain companies have in certain parts of the country.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it should kind of worry you. And you should also be kind of thankful that they don't quite have that same amount of influence today as they used to. Except, they kind of do, just not in ways you would think. Like how all of the cheerleader squads are all owned by Varsity. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Nice.
All right, so with that out of the way, we are moving on to the show proper. And as always with the show proper, we have to talk about our assholes of the week. And of course, our asshole of the week ends up being Donald Trump, president, and he ends up making it three times. I think this is literally the first time we've had the same asshole three times on the same day.
Well, to be fair, if anybody was going to be a triple asshole, it was going to be him.
Yeah, it's true.
It's an asshole hat trick.
Mm-hmm.
Ass hat trick.
Yeah. So, quick question. How many of y'all knew that, the Black Lives Matter protests were still ongoing?
Yeah.
I mean, we would. Mm-hmm. But, just normal person listening to this. Because, it would be okay if you didn't think they were existing anymore. Because the media basically has completely ignore them now. It's not the big story anymore. But they're still happening. They're still drawing hundreds and thousands of people. They're happening weekly. And they are, absolutely having major things happening. Especially if you're in freaking Portland, where a bunch of unmarked, quote-unquote, police showed up in black vans and straight up disappeared some people.
So now, this should be activating the whole Second Amendment, my freedoms, people. What have they had to say about all this?
Nope, I hadn't heard a damn peep out of those people. Like, you've been talking all the time about Terran, there's going to be a secret police force. Well,
here we fucking are.
Here it is. And understand, this is basically the same people that showed up when the BLM uprising really started.
Mm-hmm.
These were the people that were, like, posted out front of the Lincoln Memorial. These are the same people. And apparently, if you mention to them that you want a lawyer, people have been saying that's basically the code word to tell them that they'll basically have to let you go at that point. But a lot of people have been saying that they've been detained by these people for up to an hour. But yeah, this is very much like a dry run of like what they are thinking of when it comes to having like an actual secret police force. Because this is how they work. This is how secret police forces actually work.
Yep.
And how much you want to bet that a lot of these people are people who used to work with Blackwater?
Yeah.
I mean, consider who's the Department of Education head right now.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Recipe for fucking disaster.
But anyway,
disaster.
Point is, somebody during I believe it was a press conference, questioned him about the idea that, you know, more black people are being abused by police. And because he's our asshole of the week, he replied with saying, well, so are white people.
Yeah, it's...
That's not the point.
Yeah, so here's kind of what happened. He was asking refused to answer a question about police violence against black people. Instead, pointing out white people are also sometimes victims of police violence. You know, which is true, but here's the thing. He said, and so are white people, so are white people.
Then crack down on police brutality.
Yeah. He said, what a terrible question asked. So are white people. More white people, by the way. More white people. White people make up roughly half of the people shot and killed annually by police. But the Census Bureau estimates that roughly 76% of the country is white. Only 13% is black. So, yeah, the rates at which black people are shot and killed by law enforcement is twice as high as that of white people. So not necessarily just pure numbers. It's it's in relation to the fact that black people are a minority in this country. So it should be a relatively equal percentage to the amount of people in the country.
Yeah.
Not equal in terms of, well, it's almost the same amount of white people as black people. It's like, that means it's way out of whack.
Yeah.
That's how stats work.
Yeah. But, that wasn't the only bit of assholery this week. No. So, last week we talked about how the CEO of Goya Beans basically just lavished President Trump with praise.
No, God, it's felt like it is. He went down on him.
Oh, yeah. Full-throated.
Pork and
beans. No dental dam, just full-on.
Gross.
And, both Trump and his daughter Ivanka decided to return the favor by basically shilling for the product and some of the dumbest photos they've taken yet.
Yep. These are very much photos from people who have no sense of shame.
Mm-hmm.
That while they act like they are super rich people, they're not above doing stupid stuff like this. But yeah, this is the Snopes article, just kind of showing both of the images.
Mm-hmm.
Especially for the Ivanka Trump one, got memed pretty good. But this one, they got AOC responding, saying, CS Trump, Tien que ser corrupto. Which means, if it's Trump, it has to be corrupt.
Yeah, I don't think you needed to translate that one. We could all get the idea.
But yeah, it's there's a lot of great images out there of people putting other stuff in there, all kinds of great stuff, which is just, you know, I want to see how stupid it is to hold a fairly standard-sized object.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to Photoshop out.
Yep.
Yeah, it has 84,000 comments on it,
mm-hmm.
on this tweet, which is a shitload.
Yeah, I've seen the can get replaced with like a dildo, like a, you know, all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
And not like a regular dildo either, but like one of those things you get from Bad Dragon.
Yeah.
But yeah. And then finally, just to round out his week of assholery, Trump and his administration have now mandated that hospitals stop sending all COVID-19 data to the Center for Disease Control, but instead to the HHS for Trump administration to control.
Yeah, Human and Health Services, or Health and Human Services. It's not great to say, hey, the Center for Disease Control should not get information on the biggest pandemic we've had in 100 years.
Over a century, yeah.
Yeah, because they're actively trying to control the narrative.
Yeah, so, let's see. Yeah, this is kind of putting a lid on being able to get this information out. The HHS is kind of saying that they'll put out data, supposedly in a better way than the CDC, but I don't think I've seen word of that yet actually happening. But yeah, this is like going to essentially like a database that's the Trump admin can control.
Yeah. Like it's naked, absolutely naked corruption. It's just, yeah.
It's like thinking that, you know, not showing this data is just going to stop it in its tracks. Like the same logic of, you know, if we stop testing, then there won't be any, increase in cases.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, it's still going to transmit. We just won't know specifically how much there is out there.
It's like, yeah, it don't work that way, dude. But
it's horrible. This is not the way that our government is supposed to be working. Mm-hmm. This is a totalitarian government type of move.
Yeah.
This is what a man-child does when he doesn't like how the numbers look.
Yeah, and the reason he's able to get away with all this is because so many people are just so utterly craven that they have no problem going along with it just so they can hold on to power or as a potential road to future power.
Yep.
It's absolutely, utterly shameless. Like, they legit have no morals. Just, no. Or ethics of any kind.
Yeah.
But, fortunately, it wasn't all assholes this week. We also had some heroes. First and foremost, Valentina Sampaio became the first trans model to ever feature in Sports Illustrated's, I believe this is the swimsuit issue?
Yeah.
Yeah, swimsuit issue.
Yeah, 56 years they've been doing this. But yeah, this is the first trans woman to grace the pages for the swimsuit issue. She is Brazilian born. Yeah, she was the first trans model to make the cover of Vogue magazine.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she said the team at SI has created yet another groundbreaking issue. I bring together a diverse set of multi-talented, beautiful women in a creative and dignified way. I'm excited and honored to be part of this.
Mm. So, what's the response been so far?
I don't know. I haven't looked at it.
Yeah,
I guess it's the best way to go.
Yeah, it's like, we did this. What are you gonna do about it?
Yeah, if you want other women to jerk off to, the internet has tons of those.
Yep. But anyway, moving on, we've also got federal judge who struck down my state's 6-week abortion ban.
Yep. Yeah, this, let's see, District Judge Steve C. Jones said the state law was unconstitutional as it violates several stipulations set forth by Roe v. Wade. It was supposed to go into effect at the beginning of the year, but was blocked while the courts heard the suit filed by several groups. Unless legislation, abortions would be banned after 6 weeks, which is approximately when a doctor may be able to detect a heartbeat from a fetus. It had exceptions for rape and incest. However, the patient would have to file a police report for those circumstances.
Yeah. And then next up, this isn't so much that they themselves are the hero, but other people, heroes, force them to do this. Some of y'all may have heard that ICE had decided to put up a rule requiring foreign students to leave if school goes online this fall.
Yes, that was.
Well, the outcry was so loud that the administration was forced to rescind it this week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah.
The Trump administration occasionally gets things right.
And it's usually in spite of the fact that they're the Trump administration, not because of it.
Well, and it's usually always a reactionary move instead of a proactive move.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Harvard being one of the schools suing to stop this is also telling, because that's where the business boy, Jared Kushner, went to school. Where his dad paid an incredible sum of money to get him in.
It was like $2 million.
Yep.
Because basically the dumber the kid is, the more money you have to pay to get him in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's true. Yeah.
So you would think Kushner is actually the brains behind a lot of it. No, he's actually as stupid as the rest of them.
Yeah. He's basically a slumlord like his father-in-law.
Mm-hmm. But, all right, and finally, from Asheville, North Carolina, our last year of the week, their city council have voted to provide reparations to the black community.
Yep.
What they're doing, basically, is they are actively investing money into local black-owned businesses.
Yeah, they voted 7-0 on Tuesday to formally apologize to its black residents for the city's role in slavery, discriminatory housing practices, and other racist policies throughout its history. Also calls for a plan to provide reparations to its black residents in the form of investments in their community, such as increasing minority home ownership, increasing minority business ownership and career opportunities, and strategies to grow equity and generational wealth. They're looking to embed systemic solutions to help fight the systemic racism that is in many communities in this country. He said, this process begins and is perpetual, repeating this process over and over again. There's no completion box to check off.
Yep.
Which is a good way to go about it.
Yep. Pretty much. Pretty much. So, that's, now pretty much the rest of the country is like, okay, we did it. Now what are y'all going to do? Man. All right. Well, that is the end of the show proper. So now we will move on to the proper show proper. And sadly, we have to say goodbye to Mr. Grant Imahara, who passed away this week from... What did he pass away from?
Stroke.
Brain aneurysm.
Oh, damn. Those things come out of nowhere.
Yep. He was 49.
Mm-hmm.
Hosted Mythbusters as well as the White Rabbit Project.
Yep.
Yeah, died suddenly following a brain aneurysm. Mm. I believe this morning Discovery did a big marathon of episodes featuring him. Let's see. Yeah, he's been all over the place in his career. He worked at ILM and THX on Star Wars stuff and a bunch of the other projects they worked on. The Matrix Reloaded, Revolutions, Galaxy Quest, XXX, State of the Union, Van Helsing, Lost World, Jurassic Park, AI,
yep,
Terminator 3, doing a lot of model making and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Worked with Adam Savage at that time as well, who was primarily working on Star Wars stuff, I think, at that point, for the prequel trilogy. Also competed in BattleBots, which where Adam and Jamie also worked, did some stuff there, too.
I think that was around the time when they were actually showing it on Comedy Central, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of got out of ILM as CG was starting to take over the work they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is where they say here, Tori Belici suggested he come on board with Mythbusters to go with them. And he obviously did really well there. I've seen a lot of people on Twitter talking about, like, he was one of the first Asians they saw on TV that wasn't stereotyped or anything like that. He got to be himself, host this show, and not be, you know, treated in any sort of way that, like, he was different because he was Asian. He just got to be his normal nerdy self and show off his talents building robots and all that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. In a way that, you know, was definitely a thing that I saw a lot of.
Yep.
But yeah, it's tough to see him go.
Yeah, that was really sad and surprising.
Yeah, just out of nowhere. Terrible, but yeah, but he left a hell of a legacy, so.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
So yeah. All right, everybody get ready. We're opening up the garage. We're backing up another load from the COVID-19 dump truck. Here we go. All right, first and foremost, there are now 14 million cases worldwide, about 600,000 deaths. In the United States, there are 3.6 million known cases and 139,000 deaths from it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brazil's over 2 million. India's over 1 million.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah.
God, it sucks.
It really does.
We are literally like the epicenter now. This is us. Yeah. We, you know, China managed to already have, based for all intents and purposes, have solved it. I mean, they haven't solved it, but they've contained it. You know, all the other places in the world have contained it. We are the one country in the world that has not managed to successfully contain it.
Yeah. Because one is because we are such a huge country, just space-wise. It's hard to necessarily lock people down, in a sense. But we also decentralize things in a way with nobody in the federal government that wants to take any sort of responsibility to help lead the charge.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're at the mercy of the people running your state, your county, or your city. And there are good chunks of this country where people doing that are the worst people you could want to be in charge of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. A lot of places.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this next person.
Yeah. The governor of my state, Brian Kemp, who has refused, because like I said earlier, not only has he refused to actually put a statewide mask mandate, he has actually issued an order blocking all local constituencies from making their own mask mandates.
Yeah,
which is just absolutely asinine.
I can't help but think that that's going to end up in court.
It will. It inevitably will.
Yeah, it feels like he is acting like he's just learned about how things go like 3 weeks after everybody else in this country did. Because, like, he had the whole thing where it was like, oh, I didn't know there were asymptomatic people that could spread it.
Yeah,
like,
I should have told Ed, and I said back then, yeah, he knows.
Oh, yeah.
He knows. You're right. He just didn't give a shit.
And now he's still, like, in this state of, like, well, we don't need to require masks, you know, all this kind of stuff. That's not the issue. Because he's very much talking here about, you know, we need to get the economy going.
Yeah.
You know, it's like...
The whole being 3 weeks behind means that the rest of the people, by the time they get the memo, are a good probably 6 weeks behind. And then you have the fight for the people who are like, well, this is all made up. And how many deaths could have been avoided if he had just... Where did we go wrong? Like... We go wrong as a society.
Letting one party
shun science.
Yeah, letting one party demonize experts without any real pushback as a society.
Because we assumed that most people were smart enough to see around it, and now we know
they're not.
No.
The people that matter don't. The people who are actually, like, the majority voters apparently don't.
Yeah. And now it's leading
it to... because the Democrats are just absolutely fucking incapable of, you know, mounting a good opposition. They're just completely mealy-mouthed and wishy-washy.
Yeah, well, the Republicans have done a great job of making every part of this as political as possible. So now you got businesses talking about requiring masks, but they don't want to actively enforce it because that might be considered a political statement by the idiots. that throw a fit at this stuff. And it's like, why are you requiring masks if you're not going to enforce it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you're just making a statement to make it seem like you care, but you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He doesn't. So, we do have some good news. Some vaccine tested in the United States.
Do we have this problem right here?
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention. Although Governor Kemp is, like, issuing these blockings of local mask mandates, some of the local establishment have basically told him to go fuck himself. Atlanta's mayor, for example, has instituted a mask mandate in her city, and Brian Kemp is actually suing her over it. And she basically told him to drop dead.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, so his tweet on this is like the thing I saw earlier. He's saying, this lawsuit is on behalf of the Atlanta business owners and their hardworking employees who are struggling to survive during these difficult times. Let me get the rest of the thread here. These men and women are doing their very best to put food on the table for their families while local elected officials shutter businesses and undermine economic growth. Just like sending in the Georgia National Guard to protect those living in our capital city from crime and violence, I refuse to sit back and watch as disastrous policies threaten the lives and livelihoods of our citizens. We will fight to stop these reckless actions and put people over pandemic politics. It's like, you're complaining about yourself. Mm-hmm. You're the one here putting the economy over people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if we had, you know, UBI going on here,
yep,
people are getting a solid check every month to help them make ends meet. They wouldn't necessarily need these jobs to stay open.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't have to rely on people not being stupid as fuck to force people to shut things down. It's like California is shutting down a bunch of counties now.
Yeah.
Because people couldn't
handle themselves.
All
I'm going to say is he better not show his face in Atlanta or he's going to have some rocks thrown into his head.
I have to get him.
Or frankly, anywhere outside of the governor's mansion.
I'll have to get the Pope-mobile out.
Yeah. I'm serious. If he shows his face in Macon, I'm hucking a rock at his head. Straight up. I am not lying.
Listen,
the bastard freaking deserves it. So many people are dead because of this asshole and his inaction.
Yeah.
But, anyway, a bunch of major businesses are now actually... oh, crap, I just missed this other one, didn't I? The story I was talking about until I realized that there was more to the camp story.
Yeah.
So here's some good news. Some vaccines that have been tested in the U.S. are actually showing some promising results, and hopefully the final testing will begin soon. So hopefully we're really close to a vaccine.
Yep, this one is through the National Institutes of Health and Moderna, Inc.
Yeah.
They've done some initial testing, said it's revved up people's immune systems just the way they hoped. And they're going to be starting final testing here at some point. Around July 27th, they're going to have a 30,000-person study to prove the shots really are strong enough to protect against the coronavirus. But yeah, that's going
to
be...
Hopefully we're close to seeing the other side of this.
Yeah. And unfortunately, if it goes as well as planned, then you got another mountain to climb. It's like, how you get this to the people without...
Basically, I would think you do what you do with the flu vaccine, which is what you do with flu shots.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you have to make it free for everybody, because not everybody gets the flu shots.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody has the...
I know. They'll have to make it free for everybody.
And Trump doesn't like making things free.
Exactly.
He likes saying they're free, but then they aren't.
Yeah.
Because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
And a grifter.
And he never pays his freaking bills. But, finally, as far as the COVID-19 dump truck is concerned, one last story. Because the government is completely fucking incompetent in doing any of this shit, a lot of the major businesses have had to take the initiative. And so both Walmart and Kroger will be requiring customers to wear masks next week.
Yep.
Good.
Yeah. For the record, I've already been wearing a mask when I have to go to get groceries anyway, so it doesn't change a damn thing for me.
Exactly.
Yeah. It says Walmart, Kroger, Kohl's is also going to be doing this. The National Retail Federation is also calling on retailers to require masks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think the thing I've seen... it's also
no, Home Depot is also one that's going to start requiring masks as well.
Yeah, it's also going to include Sam's Club.
Yeah.
That
is going to be interesting to see how people react to that, because you guys know like what the average like demographic for a shopper at Home Depot or Sam's Club is, right?
About the same, yep.
Yeah. And you know how members of that particular demographic have been acting to the masks.
Yep.
So yeah, prepare yourself, because we'll probably have a story or two about those next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But to wrap that up, we're going to go ahead and put the dump truck back in the garage, because we will undoubtedly have a fresh load for your face tomorrow next week. So
yeah, maybe we'll have a bunch of Karen's Gone Wild stories.
Yeah. 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 Times like this, I kind of miss the days when Fox used to have, like, World's Wildest Police Chases and shit like that.
Yeah.
They could basically make a whole season of nothing but old white people acting badly.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, they're already doing it on social media.
That's true.
Anyway. Alright, we got some election results to go through. First and foremost, guess who got his ass beat in Alabama? Jeff Sessions.
Yay, yep. The little troll.
His political career is over.
Yeah, beat by a football coach.
Yeah, unfortunately, the guy who bought him, Tommy Tuberfield, is probably nuttier than he is.
Yeah.
And he also got the Trump endorsement, which is...
probably why he won.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting with him being a football coach, because he coached Auburn, which is... a very big rival for Alabama.
Yeah.
So you know the people in and around Tuscaloosa have to, hold their nose shut when they're voting for him.
Yeah. I mean, that's Roll Tide country. And
yeah.
They still managed to vote for the Auburn coach. So,
make no mistake, Doug Jones is the underdog here.
Mm-hmm.
Despite being the incumbent. He won because he was facing a pedophile. And black women especially dug them out of a hole.
Yeah.
So maybe, hopefully, those sort of people come out of the woodwork again and help take everybody out of the dump they want to get into.
Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah. Next up, Democrat Sarah Gideon won her primaries, and she's going off to face Senator Susan Collins in November. Please, God, let her win.
Yeah. Yeah, she's raised $23 million in her Senate bid,
mm-hmm.
Which is a crazy amount.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's got hopefully a good chance here. Susan Collins is a senator nobody seems to like on the left side. She's always the one they point to, oh, maybe she'll flip. And there's the John Oliver thing of, be disappointed when she doesn't. It's America's favorite game show of expecting Susan Collins to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't. It's the only game show where there's no winners.
Yeah.
But yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. And then we got another Democrat, MJ Hager. He won his primary runoff, and he's going to be facing Senator John Cornyn this fall.
Yep.
Yeah. Again. Let him win.
Yep. Yeah, show Texas is more than just a deep red state.
Please. We're begging you.
get one of these guys out if you can't get Ted Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Ted Cruz apparently flying pretty recently without a mask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw that too.
Yeah.
Because, hey. You didn't think less of him enough.
I already thought he was lower than pond scum, so...
Well, he's gone even further down.
Yeah. You know, he almost lost his race last time. So, yeah. In Texas, by the way. Yep.
Damn.
Yeah. So, we'll see where that goes. Okay. So, now we're moving on to the other stories. Amongst other things, now that we're like 100 days away from the actual election, candidate Joe Biden is unveiling his climate change plan, and he's going to be unveiling a plan where, amongst other things, he claims he's going to get the U.S. on clean energy by 2035.
Yeah. $2 trillion plan.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty ambitious. I think Bernie's was by 2050.
Yeah.
So it's a decent
bit. And keep in mind, Bernie's actually taking part in putting his program together. So
yeah. Going to be taking probably a good bit from the Green New Deal.
Mm-hmm.
But not everything. But yeah, it's a $700 billion plan that would increase government purchasing of U.S.-based goods and invest in new research and development to frame a contrast with Trump, who has no plans for a second term.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing that he's said to anybody here in this country. but yeah, it's definitely a strong policy to have, because...
Yeah. Yeah,
do or die time for the climate.
Yeah, and I like this radical approach.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's actually doing something.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Speaking of fucking doing something, so everybody remember a short while back when Trump was getting ready to make his big re-entrance into the campaigning world with his first public rally, and it bombed. Like, it bombed so bad that even Trumplandia had to admit that it bombed.
Yeah.
Well.
The salty walk of shame.
Yeah, well, Brad Parscale, his campaign manager, has been demoted because of that and because of the fact that basically he's losing in just about all of the fucking polls.
Yeah.
Even the ones he's supposed to be winning in.
Yep. Yeah, show them trailing Biden by double digits in two national polls.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not what you want to see if you're the incumbent.
Mm-hmm.
Might be one of the worst performances by an incumbent we've ever had.
Yeah.
Should make sense for all the nothing that's going on.
Yeah.
Or he's just using the Rose Garden to do campaign speeches where it's not supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah, Parscale will still be in charge of his digital campaign stuff, but he's promoting, what's this guy's name? Bill Stepien to be his campaign manager, who's kind of the deputy manager, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a GOP dude.
Yep.
Done a lot of campaigns for other candidates.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't know if it's going to work, but he's got to do something.
Yeah.
So whatever he's doing now is not working.
Again, it's 100, we're less than 100 days than the from the election, and he is tanking.
And we still don't know who the vice presidents are going to be for either of them.
Mm-mm.
Well, I mean.
I mean, at this point, though, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, but still, it's like, that would be something.
Yeah.
Trump's doing nothing.
Speaking of awful people, Ghislaine Maxwell, of course, Jeffrey Epstein's ex-girlfriend and accomplice in procuring young women for sexual assault. She has been denied bail on Epstein-related charges after pleading not guilty.
And guess what? Because she's not getting bail. She's going to be in jail until her court, which is in court dates July 2021. She's going to be sitting there for a year until they do anything.
Meaning that she's probably not going to survive the year. Because we all know what fucking happened to Epstein.
Yeah.
I assume she's going to get actual security. Make sure nobody's doing anything.
Epstein also had actual security.
I don't know. They seem to let him alone for long enough to have somebody, you know, hang him
by
his belt. They gotta put her in solitary confinement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll see how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See us back this time next year when we see if she's still alive or not.
Next month.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Hopefully by this time next year we'll also have a new president, but moving on from there. The Supreme Court this week are allowing Florida to block ex-felons from voting until all fees and fines are repaid.
Yep. The bullshit Florida's been doing.
Yeah. Yeah, Kemp and DeSantis, they're two peas in a pod, the bastards.
Yep.
Not really much to add to that. They're just assholes. Now here's a shocker. Could you possibly believe that the top writer for Tucker Carlson's program had to resign for posting racist stuff on racist forums filled with words that were racist?
And the only part about that surprises me is that he had to resign over it.
Yeah, well, he got caught using the hard R. And that's basically the line that you can't cross.
Yep.
Not even for the ruling class. Well, you can say it, just not in public and not easily documented.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what this was.
Yeah, he posted on AutoAdmit, message board notorious for vulgar and offensive content.
It's mostly staffed by, like, right-wing law students.
Yeah, he wanted the username.
Basically fascist in training.
Yeah, he wanted the name Charles 12, XII.
Because, of course, like all of these alt-right douchebags, he's a fucking LARPer.
Yeah. Made a series of brazenly racist comments, including June 5th post that read, "Black dudes staying inside playing Call of Duty is probably one of the biggest factors keeping crime down."
Yeah.
Let's see, wrote that he wouldn't get LASIK from an Asian for free. Commented that, quote, "Given how tired black people always claim to be, maybe the real crisis is their lack of sleep." I assume they're not including the super terrible stuff.
Well, they're not using the one. They're not including the one where he used the hard R.
Yeah, I'm saying they're not including that in this article because it's
that
much worse. Because those are all just stupid stereotype, racist stereotype shit.
Mm-hmm.
But he also claimed that let's see, quote, "Anything Tucker's reading off the teleprompter, the first draft was written by me."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well.
Also, Tucker is using this to dismiss people talking about this as liberal hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Considering that he and Fox News, quote, "will never bow to the mob ever, no matter what."
So, and then he went on a week-long vacation.
Yeah.
Which is basically basically like studio talk for, "we're going to decide whether or not to fire this guy."
Yeah. They probably won't. They like their confused, angry boy.
See, they do that, but they also, that's the same shit that happened to Bill O'Reilly, too.
That's true.
Yeah, but that was also sexual harassment and all that stuff. Like, literal lawsuits costing Fox News tens of millions of dollars.
Yeah. And also,
this is just one dude's salary. They're losing, it's not that much.
Yeah. But,
God, it's amazing how every screenshot of him just looks like he has learned a word that is, like, way too hard
for him
to understand.
Somebody once described to me that Tucker Carlson always looks like an 8-year-old who is having sex explained to him for the first time.
That's true.
Yeah, now look at every picture and think that it's like, wow, that makes so much sense. But,
he'll learn about it one day.
Yeah. Next up. A judge has rejected Harvey Weinstein's proposed class action settlement. Good.
Yeah. Yeah, this would that would resolve nearly all of the civil claims against him, the Weinstein Company, and several of its directors. Let's see. Monday, objections poured in from multiple women, found the agreement to be supremely unfair. It's going to be $18.875 million for a victim's fund. Included no admission of wrongdoing by any of the defendants. Also provided a $1.5 million defense fund that would cover costs of defending suits from accusers who do not participate in the settlement. Also under the settlement agreement, the accusers would have forever released the defendants who include the Weinstein Company board members, execs, and Bob Weinstein, from claims arising from the alleged sexual misconduct. And New York Attorney General Letitia James' office would have been barred from prosecuting any related action, which is a lot of stuff to require out of that. And yeah, so that's something that courts typically do, too often rejecting settlements, but this one seems like it's
That was a stacked deck.
Yeah, the class counsel said there's a time and place for objections to a class action settlement, and this is not it. Instead, she argued objectors should hold their criticisms until the court is considering final approval. I was complaining that people brought up objections to this, yeah. Yeah, she can go, she can go to hell.
Mm. Yeah. Alright, so that's more or less the end of the major shit. We're now moving on to the entertainment portion, more or less. First and foremost, some of y'all may have heard recently, after all the BLM stuff started, that the country band Lady Antebellum decided to change their name to Lady A.
Mm-hmm.
And then they decided to sue another singer who went by the name Lady A for trademark infringement.
Yeah, she's been going by that name for 20 years.
Yeah.
Guess what? She's also black.
Yep.
So.
Oh.
Yeah, so.
Their lawyer's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, the 61-year-old Seattle-based artist accused the trio of performative activism, showcased by rebranding to depart from the word antebellum's pro-slavery connotations. But she said they undercut the move by suing her to share the name. Ben was also harshly criticized on Twitter for taking the matter to court. Not wanting a name that is a reminder to many black folks of how so much was taken from us, our freedom, languages, families, even our names make sense. However, to do so by taking the name on which I, a black woman, have built my career in the music industry for over 20 years is ironic.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they filed the lawsuits, let's see, Wednesday in Tennessee, after the country trio said negotiations with White broke down. They said they were forced to file suit after White demanded an exorbitant $10 million to allow them to share the name.
Mm-hmm.
So that means go fuck off, you idiots. Pick another name that isn't already taken. One that people can't be like, oh yeah, this is Lady Antebellum, the racist group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, that went well.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Next up.
It's like the thing you gotta do with a music group is Google that the name you're looking to take isn't already taken.
Yeah.
That's the easy thing. Not just sue the person that already has it because you're a bigger group than they are.
Yeah. And next up, after decades and decades and decades and decades of people telling them, dude, your name is racist as fuck and your logo and shit is problematic. You might want to think about doing it, but they never do it because Dan Snyder owns them and he's an asshole. The Washington Redskins announced that they will finally, finally be retiring their name and their logo.
Yeah. They're in the process of figuring out what the new name is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's good news.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they say they want to come up with a new name that honors Native Americans, which like I don't.
Dude, just go to something different.
Yeah.
Like the Red Tails. Use the Red Tails.
Well, I think
that there's been a copyright troll who's snatched up a lot of potential Redskins replacement names.
Yeah.
And that's actually on the list. He's got like 40 of them or something. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they could just sue and get the names back. Just get them to release the trademarks.
Yeah.
Big enough companies can do that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
To go through it. That's why I like... Nobody really sits on websites anymore for like future games or movie names or anything like that.
The problem is they can't do it on the grounds that he isn't using it because he's actually been producing merch for every name that he's copyrighted.
Oh wow!
Yeah. So that yeah.
Well, I mean,
so he's actually invested in he's actually invested in all of these copyrights that he's sitting on.
Wow.
So yeah, he's got more legal legs to stand on than most.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Though, I think as of today, a number of, women have alleged, sexual harassment, toxic workplace culture stuff have been happening in the Washington Redskins organization from 2006 to 2019. By 15 women.
Not surprised.
He spoke on the condition of, anonymity to the Washington Post. Some have NDAs with the team and all that, so yeah. And now Dan Snyder is like vowing to change the culture of the team and all this. It's like 13 years, it's not going to be easy to change that.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Next up, DC has announced that they're going to do an entire comic book miniseries dedicated exclusively to Rorschach. I'm guessing because they're trying to finally drive home the point that Rorschach is not a hero.
Yeah. It's going to be a 12-issue series written by Tom King with art by Jorge Fornes.
Mm-hmm.
Later this year it's going to launch.
Yeah.
Set 35 years after the conclusion of Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
Rorschach follows an investigation into an assassination attempt against the first candidate to stand against President Robert Redford in decades, one of whom was dressed as Rorschach, despite his having died in 1985 at the end of the original series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seems like it's taken a little bit of inspiration from the show.
Yeah, they're trying to kind of connect the sort of the dots there.
Yeah.
Specifically trying to explain like how Rorschach managed to somehow inspire like a gigantic white nationalist militant movement that ends up slaughtering a bunch of people in a single day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do have a bit of artwork here, so looks pretty nice.
Yeah. And once again, trying to drive home the point, Rorschach is not a hero. He is a horribly damaged human being.
Yeah.
With a very screwed up moral compass. But yeah. Next up, Star Wars, The Clone Wars, which, not the movie, but not Attack of the Clones, but the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's going to be a spinoff coming called Star Wars The Bad Batch that's coming to Disney Plus.
Yeah, a little spinoff of some characters they introduced near the end.
Mm-hmm.
Called The Bad Batch. They're experimental, elite and experimental clones of Jango Fett.
Yep.
I assume. I haven't gotten that far yet, but I was like, how close it is to the saying Star Wars The Bad Bitch?
I mean, people Facebook or people Photoshopped it, so
yeah,
yeah, that's the easy joke. Like, that'd be good to use for a female lead series.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get Vince Gilligan in there to do it, get him something good to do. But yeah, I'm trying to see who is. I guess it's all the Clone Wars people still running this. But yeah. That's some good news.
Yeah.
More cool stuff coming out of the Star Wars stuff there on Disney Plus.
Yeah, and speaking of animated science fiction, we've got a trailer for the animated show Star Trek The Lower Decks.
Yes, we do.
Looks pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice to get something in there that's not, you know, 100% serious.
Yeah.
This is a guy who worked on Rick and Morty doing the leading the show here.
Mm-hmm.
Half-hour comedy series, yeah. Focus on the support crew living on the lower end of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
USS Cerritos.
Yep.
Yeah, watch the trailer. It's out August 6th, though, here in a few weeks.
Yep. Alright. And I do believe, even though the forces of the universe and apparently Chris's computer were working against us, we've actually got a show, folks.
Nice.
Skype is always working against us.
Because it's Skype.
Yeah, we got to figure out a way to record from Discord or something.
Or Zoom or shit like that, yeah. Anyway.
I would rather use Skype than Zoom.
Yeah. All right. With that, I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you got a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can contact us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or pretty much any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. We'll be on there. If we aren't, just wait a few minutes. We will be. And with that, I have been your host for the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sams, and Chris Elogi, good night, sleep tight, good God, it's hot, please God, bring the rain, I need it!